Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jessica Baldoni.
And I'm Robert Neguesco.
And today is Tuesday, November 8th.
Election it's Day.
Election Day.
You know the results, future people.
Yeah, hopefully our democracy has not completely failed us, and we're not living in a post-apocalyptic world like the comics we read all the time.
I just hope it's a cool one if it happens.
Yeah. What is a cool one?
I don't know. Cool outfits, at least.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want like The Road. I'd rather have Mad Max.
Right. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely
just walk away.
I definitely have some of those outfits in my closet from cosplay.
Yeah.
I can break those out at least.
And well, that was like food. A early pandemic joke where it's like what you thought your post-apocalyptic outfits would look like, and it's like humongous and his metal mask and Speedo, and it's like what it actually looks like, and it's like your pajamas,
right? And like shitty masks, like
yeah,
rubber
yeah.
gloves.
Yeah, I guess that is a shittier mask. I should have just rocked a humongous mask literally the entire time. Just
I did see some people that wearing those type of masks, like at the brew and stuff. And I was
somebody
like,
came
what
in with
are
the
you doing.
Somebody came with the Power Rangers mask into the shop once.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They didn't say anything, though. That's what was creepy about it. They were just like standing there, and they like put their and I was like, hey, how's it going? Yeah. And they just stared at me with their white Power Ranger mask. I'm like, okay, I know, Tommy, you were a bad guy sometimes. I hope it's not today.
Maybe it was. Maybe they were that thieving guy.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
It probably was that guy, actually. He
yeah,
also
I guess
came in with the Miles Morales
oh,
mask
yeah.
one time.
And no face, so.
And no face, so. It was probably him. Was he really short?
No.
No, okay. Well, just some people love to cosplay. I mean,
we got your number.
We do have your number. So as you know, it's been a while. We've had some changes, but we're still doing the show.
Yeah, we lost an episode, huh?
Yeah, and we lost an episode. So that's maybe we'll find it again. Who knows? No, the audio was just crap. So
for sure.
We couldn't bring it back. But here we are. We're everything is settled down. There's some new people at the store, so I hope you all are still coming to visit us, or not us, but the store itself.
Them. Yeah, we're the satellite crew.
Yeah, we are beaming in from a distant planet.
Yeah.
Still to give comic news and reading the little comics that we have.
Updates. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still going in there. You make it in once in a while as well, right, Robert?
As often as I can, but it's an hour and a half drive. So.
Yeah, it's a long way.
Yeah, but I'll be back soon. I got some peach momokos and stuff waiting for me.
Aw, peach momokos. When I was at, it's been this long, when I was at New York Comic Con, Peach Momoko was like, obviously she's a huge star, and she was just like rocking it on all the signings. Like, I guess I didn't get to see her personally, but apparently, you know, her line was just like extremely long, like around the corner, like all day, every day. And she fainted Like it was like a big deal. She was just so exhausted. Poor thing. I guess she recovered. She was fine, but yeah,
it's probably a huge shock. She was actually on they did a Cartoonist Kayfabe interview with her, and she kind of talked about the experience a little bit, which was good to hear it from her, because there was so much. I was reading all sorts of articles about like anywhere from up to almost like it was riotous, you know. So it's better to hear it from the person herself. But
absolutely. And I'm glad she talked about it. New York was it was crazy. I was only there for one day because that's all I could do. Sure. You know, because I was just visiting family and stuff. And it was insane, like just getting in. And that was on Sunday too. I heard like Friday and Saturday was just like a nightmare to even like get in the door. It would take like a couple hours, like just to get in, and get into Artist Alley. Sunday was a little bit more chill. At least you could actually like get in to see people. It was super fun. I sold a bunch of books. Banshee's Ashcan is out now.
Go get it.
I'm just gonna go plug it. Might as well right now. If you want to get your own copy, scoutcomics.com. Go to Ashcan's. You can get your own copy of my Banshee's Ashcan.
Go do it.
Pick it up.
And also, I guess at least we know now that it's comics are still hot, right? It wasn't just that people were trapped inside. Mm-hmm. Comics are still exploding. So
yeah.
Good time to be a comic fan. Anywhere.
People definitely still want them. Notice this was very strange. So, you know, Comic Con obviously has many different levels, right?
Yeah.
And the main floor was just like anime, manga madness, right? And a lot of the booths upstairs, like Scout had their like big booth upstairs where all the manga and anime was, and people did not really care that much about comics up there. They were just like manga, anime, like what? They just like asked me where directions, like, do you know where the One Piece booth is? And I was like, I don't know. Like, do you want to buy my comic? Do you like horror comics? And they're like, no. And I was like, all right. Well. But downstairs in Artist Alley, like that's where, you know, you could sell anything down there, like put a comic in anybody's hand and they were excited. It was just such a difference. Like it was insane.
Viz, right? They're the biggest publisher of comics in America. Mm-hmm. It's also just one of those weird things. I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast before, but it's like an anime con is anime centric. A horror con is horror centric. A Comic Con is not comic centric necessarily. Comic Con is now just code for con.
Right.
And that, I think, just by pure like word verbiage, that puts comics at a disadvantage, because it's like they created the con thing, but it's like a Comic Con could put on a Comic Con and not have a single comic book in that place. And a lot of people wouldn't even bat an eye. I mean, I would, you would, comic fans would, but then they'd be like, yeah, well go buy your $2 things. Get out of here.
Right. Exactly. It was like some people there hadn't even read a comic before. They were just there to dress up, you know, mostly.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. So definitely, and even just I would say like 7 years ago, it wouldn't have been like that. Like people definitely not at all. It's definitely a different experience, and it also depends on what con you're at too, I think. For sure. But it's definitely getting more and more, you know, divided, I think.
Which that just means it's getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Culture and all that stuff, which I'm not saying it's a bad thing, it's just comics need to figure out a way to figure that out. You know, where it's like Comic-Con, we actually have comics.
Yeah. That should be the slogan.
Yeah. There's a couple.
So speaking of comics, we got some sad news this week. One of the comic greats, Kevin O'Neill, passed away.
Huge loss.
Huge loss. I think my introduction to him was definitely League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. It was one of the best comics I've read in such a long time. And this is when I was working at Dr. Comics, actually. And I just remember opening up this book and just being like, you know, the first issue when it came out. and just being absolutely fascinated. It was such a different looking comic, you know, obviously written by Alan Moore.
Totally.
I was so just like, you know, Mina Harkness, you know, was in it, and I a huge Dracula fan. And yeah, it was just so different than any other thing on the shelf.
I mean, completely. And I mean, Alan Moore doesn't work with people who aren't great.
Right. That's so true too.
You know, that should be, but yeah, for me, my introduction was the Martial Law comics, written by Pat Mills and drawn by O'Neill. And those are just like the most punk rock, insane, chaotic, like double middle finger to the, like, you know, the history of comics, but also embracing it. Mm-hmm. And just the way he like would render things, and he did like chicken fat, like, because he just fills in every little hole with like little gags and little jokes. And it's like his pages are more than almost anybody, more than, I guess, for maybe the Mad guys. It's like you look at the page and then keep looking. You're going to keep find like, oh, that, look at what's written on the wall. Look at what's written on his boot. Like, right. Just so in, and who is that unique? You know, no one else looks like that guy's stuff. I don't know what he was doing. I don't know what he looked at, but
yeah,
so visionary. And then of course he also worked at 2000 AD for quite a long time. A lot of classic Judge Dredd stories. He's done a lot of Batman stuff with Pat Mills. All great stuff.
Yeah. And his, you know, his first DC work too, I believe, it was Tales of Green Lantern Corps, annual number 2 in 1986. And this was like a huge mark in history because the Comics Code Authority was still happening, you know, back then. And they actually objected to his art.
Yeah.
and DC Act, they were like, what was wrong? What's wrong with his art? So this is actually from Wikipedia. So DC asked what was wrong and if anything could be changed. So the story actually featured scenes of a crucifixion.
Okay.
And to get approval, the authority replied that it was O'Neill's entire style they found objectionable.
Incredible.
And DC pointed out that his art had been passed previously, but the authority stuck by their decision. DC decided to print the comic without the Comics Code Authority stamp. The story has established continuity points by the DC universe on which the 2009 storyline Blackest Night was based. So yeah, that was a big deal because it was like
banned just not by content,
no,
by just how style. Crazy his art is. That's the most coolest badge of honor. And punk rock as hell.
Hell yeah.
Just like, we don't like, I feel uncomfortable.
Right.
So cool.
So yeah, well, he's just like, fuck the Comics Code. I mean, it's kind of like in Marvel too, and in Spider-Man, where they do the famous drug issue, you know,
yeah,
the same thing. But it's just because of a crucifixion and his art style. The Comics Code is like, no.
Yeah. I mean, so. I get why they don't like the crucifixion, but
sure. But still, like in 86, like, get over it.
Yeah.
We're past this point, guys.
And if you want, if you do want him talking about crucifixion, Martial Law definitely does that. He's like, you call yourself the Messiah, then allow me to aid you in the crucifixion.
Like, yeah.
But rest in peace, Kevin O'Neill.
Yeah.
Amazing talent. Read some of his books, please, people.
Absolutely. Let me get into this while it's fresh in my head. I saw Black Adam last night.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of crucifixions.
Oh no.
No. No, it wasn't that bad. You know, so Zack Snyder is still has so much influence over the way it's shot, and like so much of that like slow motion and like drab colors that I can't wait till like James Gunn gets his hands into it and maybe brightens things up and you get some more of that like humor or just something different. Cause you're just seeing that, like that old, like things from like Justice League and Aquaman, all of those, you still feel all of that in this movie. And then my biggest problem, and I don't think this is a spoiler so much as we know Black Adam is a bad guy, right? He's a villain. And he's going to kill people, but goddamn, does he kill so many people? And then you have all of these people rooting for him except for the JSA, right? And the JSA are in there, I guess, to be like a moral compass of some sort. Uh-huh. But you only get that like a little bit. And there's still like thousands of people, including this like one kid who's like one of the main protagonists. And he's like, yeah, kill him, Black Adam, kill him. And you're like, what is wrong with this child? Like, he's a little psychopath. Like, he's like cheering him on to like murder people. And he's so happy about it. And you're supposed to like this child who's like, you know, a funny like kid riding a skateboard around and doing cool tricks. And then rooting Black Adam to murder people. It's very strange. I just got this very strange feeling throughout the movie. And I was like, you want to root for The Rock, but at the same time, like, I don't want him to like murder people all the time.
Sure. There's a million directions I could go with this. But I did read, right, that they wanted Black Adam to be rated R. Mm-hmm. This is without you having said this, this is my, but they wanted it to be rated R, but because of The Rock's family friendly image, it had to be PG-13.
Yeah.
And I was like, isn't this guy a bad guy? So isn't it worse that it's PG-13? Mm-hmm. Like, does it need to be gory violence? It's like I knew the body count was going to be high.
Right.
And I know this guy's supposed to be either, I mean, I hadn't seen the movie, but a villain or anti-hero, but you know, whatever. Like, it's not the 70s, right? No. Dirty Harry's an anti-hero.
Right.
Like, or painted as one, whereas like Travis Bickle is more of a villain.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And it's like, that's a weird line, but there is a line. Yeah. I don't know. It seems very strange that it's like marketed still to kids.
Yeah. And I tried to compare it to like Suicide Squad, right? Because, you know, I'm talking about James Gunn and then, but I was like, but that is rated R. Mm-hmm. And they are bad guys. And you are still rooting for them, obviously, because they're funny but they definitely are killing people. But it just didn't feel like that because it's not fun in that way. You know,
also the characters we are rooting for are not as evil as other people in the movie that we don't root for. Idris Elba, they give us the lowdown. He's a psychopath, blah, 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 blah. But it's like you're way more with him than you are with John Cena, who is the same guy, but like worse. And then they make a show, right? Which kind of counteracts what I'm saying to begin with, but.
Yeah. And they're killing bad people too. And in this, I mean, most of the people that he kills are also bad. You know, they're not good people for sure. They're definitely trying to destroy this country, or actually, I'm not even sure what they're trying to do. They didn't really make that clear.
Villain plot, but
but they're definitely villain. You know, they're bad guys as well. They're mercenaries, I guess, mostly. But it's thousands of, you know, or hundreds at least of people, and he murders all of them in terrible ways. He just like, you know, decimates them with his lightning bolts and they turn into dust and, so then you get the JSA, you know, you get Hawkman, he comes in, and you know, Dr. Fate, who's really cool. Sure. I was like, I want a Dr. Fate movie. Like, I mean, I love Dr. Fate, but.
And Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah. And Pierce Brosnan, he's great. They come in and they're like, don't kill people, Black Adam. And he's like, he does say, he's like, I'm a bad guy. Like, I'm not a hero. And you're like, okay, cool. But then they have big fight scenes and those are fun, you know, Hawkman looks great. All the characters look awesome. Their costumes are great. And get this new Cyclone girl and she's really cool. She has these weird striped socks that look like they're from the Wizard of Oz, which I didn't really understand, but they look cool on camera.
Wizard of Oz does have a cyclone in it.
Yes. There you go. That must be it.
It is a weird thing though, right? I bring up wrestling now because of course The Rock, famous wrestler, but also I've been watching wrestling lately and it's like the traditional babyface, right? Hero and then heel or villain. It doesn't work. And I think it's been broken since like the 90s because it's like people cheer the bad guys now, even when they're doing horrible stuff. It's a very strange sort of, I don't know. I don't even know what's going on. Like where it's like,
I love the heel.
But it's not always though, right? Because Captain America got over, everyone loved Captain America. And it's like, but I'm also very concerned because once again, wrestling, they're building this Superman Black Adam match, right? And it's like Black Adam, now I'm thinking he's gonna beat Shazam in Shazam 2. Mm-hmm. And then it's gonna show oh damn, that guy's a real force, and then he'll take on Superman, right? They're building this heat, but it's like, does Superman have a chance with the people if it's Black Adam and everyone loves that guy?
Right.
Very strange sort of
position. Well, they kind of like make it, because obviously The Rock wanted to make it very clear that he wanted Black Adam to be a good guy, like towards the end. And okay. And they, you know, so they make this arc, right, where they make him more good, like throughout the movie. And he has to have like an overarching story where he becomes a good guy ish, you know, so he becomes an anti-hero. Yeah,
villain to anti-hero arc.
Yes.
Which that's, I mean, I could see that on paper that that can work.
But Black Adam's not a good guy. He's a bad guy.
Well, yeah. And that's another greater problem I'm sure we've talked about, where every villain becomes a gray figure, but the heroes stay heroes. And then it's like, well, then who's the bad guy? Were you going to make me sympathetic of Annihilus or some shit? Like,
but does it? I mean, Superman also became a kind of a bad guy, though, too.
Yeah.
Well, but now he's good again, I think. Yeah. And he looked good. I was actually, that was the best part, was seeing Superman at the end of the movie, and he looked like a happy Superman, and I was like, yay, happy Superman, he's gonna be a good guy again. He had a nice little curl, he was smiling, and I was like, that made me sit, that was like the best part of the movie to me, was seeing a happy Henry Cavill.
I mean, that's all I've wanted, and
yeah,
that's been my problem with it the whole time, is that Superman can't maintain that tone. It doesn't make sense. And in listening to recent interviews with Cavill and stuff, it seems like what he said was I want people to leave the theater believing that they can fly.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's why we have Superman.
Yeah.
I don't watch Christopher Reeves. He doesn't bum me out.
Exactly.
Fucking awesome. You like want to put on a red cape and be like, yeah, and smile. Your joy. And it's like, it is that Captain America thing where he's going to say some one liner and you're going to be like, yes,
truth, justice, bigger. The American way.
Yeah. But bigger, right? Like, because it's Superman. So it's like, instead of him fighting a guy on the ground, it's smashing through buildings, whatever. But it's like, you want to be like, go. Like, I want to see a movie where I see little kids go, go, Superman. Like,
exactly.
That's what you want.
Yeah. Right? You want those kids to like believe in Superman and they can be Superman. And exactly. Yeah. It should bring joy to them.
And I mean,
not destroying entire cities and killing thousands of people.
Yes.
Because that's not Superman.
I do think James Gunn understands this.
Yes.
And also bringing it back, you were saying that it's the Zack Snyder thing, which it definitely is his like aesthetics, but I never realized, because there was always those Warner Brothers shakeups, right? They were like mass firings. It's the same guy who was the head since like 2009 or something. So it's like, so literally amidst where they're like, this doesn't work. And it's like, well, the head guy's still there. He's like, I forget that guy's name. Apologies. But like, it seems like he was leading a lot of that grimness. And I'm like, really? After all, like, it took this long. It's like so long that this guy's been there, like, veering things towards darkness, you know, or a grim tone.
Yeah.
Right? And, I don't think he
relied on, and he relied on Snyder too.
Yeah. And then when he was gone, maintained what he knew. Right.
Exactly.
And I do think James Gunn understands, you know, these characters a lot better. I mean, I've heard a friend of mine expressed like, well, I just hope, I don't think he was right, but he's like, I just hope it's not like too ironic, like too James Gunn-y. And I'm like, I think he probably understands that that can't be like, Superman's not going to be like wryly smirk. Like, he's not going to be like, you know what I mean? Like, he knows that doesn't work for that guy. It might work for Green Arrow or Flash, right? But not Superman, not everybody, right?
Yeah. Ooh, Flash. We'll see what happens with that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that'll be its own movie. That's not James Gunn's at all. That'll be like kind of the end of this.
Yeah.
Reign.
Well, we'll see what James Gunn has taken over. See if he can fix that too. Yeah. I don't know if he can, but.
Sure. My number one hope though is just colors, bright colors.
Yeah, me too.
That's all I want.
Because that's DC.
Yeah. They are the more like pop aesthetic than anything, you know?
Absolutely. Jason Momoa had something to say about it today, actually. He told Entertainment Tonight that is he's very excited by the news that James Gunn and Peter Safran, that's the other guy, are taking over DC Universe. I guess there's going to be doing a new project, but I don't know if this is another Aquaman movie, because Aquaman 2 is already finished, comes out December 2023.
Well, so he's got to have a trilogy.
Or what I was thinking is it could be Trinity. Because the Aquaman. That's Batman.
He's not part of the Trinity.
Well, maybe they'll make him part of the Trinity.
I don't know. Maybe.
Get rid of Batman.
Also, you know, I mean, knowing Jason Momoa is like a total metalhead,
right,
like through and through.
Yeah.
I gotta think that he looks at Aquaman in at least a similar vein to me, which is like, I want sword and sorcery underwater. Mm-hmm. He's a king, right? Yeah. Give me fucking monsters battling, quest, an underwater quest to this. I have to collect these things from the seven seas, right? And it's like, there's a defender of each totem that I must, you know what I mean?
I thought you were going to say Dark Knight's metal Aquaman.
No. Not that metal. Heavy metal, right? But it's like,
I mean, that would be cool too.
Sure.
That metal book was pretty, the Dark Knight's Aquaman metal was pretty awesome. So that's a saying.
But yeah, I mean, that's my hope with that. Cause
yeah, that would be cool.
I do see him. I mean, you know, and it's cool that these people are now the actors who are allowed to have some creative control over where their character goes, because it has been proven with Hemsworth, right? He didn't get to decide for two movies. Then he gets to fuse with someone who's has a similar sensibility, and it unleashes, it unlocks everything. It's like better than the sum of its parts with that character. And it's like, I would love if Aquaman, Superman get those options to, you know, become themselves, which is these actors who have played them multiple times, yet doesn't seem like they've really had a lot of control in that.
Right. And James Gunn talks about that, because everyone's like, oh, what's going to happen with Guardians of the Galaxy? And are you going to get thrown off of that now because you're your DC head? And like, it's like, no, what? Like, what is this, a child's game? Like, no, because and Kevin Feige are like really good friends too. And obviously, Guardians is a huge franchise. And so, of course, he's still going to do, he has two movies, you know, still planned for Guardians. And he has he's even said he has so much respect for Kevin Feige, and
they talk every day. They said,
yeah, they're very good friends.
I have an elaborate theory on all of this, but Kevin did say, like, yes, congratulations. Also, he's mine for the next like 5 months, people. Like, you know, it's like, but if they talk every day, right? Feige's got to know he's not there forever. Who could be the successor? He was already pitching, like, James Gunn was supposed to be the cosmic, right? Mm-hmm. Head of the cosmic side, while Feige was going to keep control of the Earthbound, right? He was, you know, and still overseeing James, but like, that was the original plan. That all got scrapped with the firing and everything.
Yeah.
So it's like, now at this point, he's like, I need to ensure, like, this is my theory, that he wants James to be his successor whenever that time comes. Uh-huh. And it's, how else can you do it? You go to DC and you turn a shit show into magic.
Right.
Marvel will give him anything. And if Kevin's like, that's the guy, that's the guy, buy him out, get whatever he needs to have him over here. He's the guy. I think they're going to keep in contact. Yeah. I think this is a perfect, like, this is like the heads of DC, like more like fucking Julie Schwartz and Stan Lee, like golfing together. And he's like, yeah, we're doing a team book. And then Stan's like, Fantastic Four. Like, I think it's positive that there's healthy competition, but healthy competition, not antagonism.
Right.
Yeah. That's my theory, though.
It's a pretty good theory, I think. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. The DC still has to get through a couple more movies. So.
And
I mean, Flash, Aquaman. We'll see what happens with those. But
they're probably not gonna, you know, bury anymore.
And hopefully anymore. Maybe bring some out. I mean, maybe Gunn will save that Batgirl movie, please. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Brendan Fraser's return. What are we doing?
Yeah, he just had that the whale drop on. I guess everyone's talking about that trailer today. So I mean, if he's making a big comeback, then I mean, he already kind of has. Everyone's talking about him all the time. So
we love Brendan Fraser.
We love Brendan Fraser.
Airheads, come on. Fuck yeah.
So speaking over at Marvel and Kevin Feige, yeah. She-Hulk wrapped up while we were away. I loved it personally. Mm-hmm. How'd you feel about it?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. Definitely up there with probably in the top three of my favorite like Marvel shows.
Oh yeah, me too.
Exclusively talking about the shows. I mean, I really love her. She's incredible. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see her be an Avenger.
Oh yeah.
And just, I mean, all of it really works for me.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't know, I guess we're spoiling it if we
Well,
want
yeah, it's
to.
Been out a while, you know. It wrapped up little bit ago now. So
Kevin, weeks ago. I loved all of that.
Oh, the breaking the fourth wall with Kevin and the AI.
I would die for him. And yeah. She's like, okay, like calm down a little bit. Like, you're fucking weird. Like,
yeah. The whole AI robot, Kevin, and her jump, like when that happened, when she jumps out of the menu screen, I was like, what is happening?
Incredible.
Right now? It was amazing. Like, yeah. No one's done that.
I turned to my girlfriend and was like, I don't think I said it, but I was like, this is a special moment. Like, yeah. I knew that was special to like see that. That was like, I'm like, then where are they going to take with Deadpool? Right. It's like,
right.
And I'm like waiting for the movie, the moment in the Avengers where, you know, she's like, can you believe this? And he's like, you can see them too.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I have a feeling that's going to happen. Yeah.
Hugging her. And she's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Gross. Like, stop.
Oh yeah.
You're covered in blood.
I feel like it's definitely going to be a thing between them.
Totally.
Yeah. Very that exciting. Was definitely one of my favorite moments. And then, of course, we have to talk about the very end with Hulk and Scar, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was just Scar. Like a flash. That's crazy. Yeah.
That was interesting. I thought strange, but at the same time, if they're going to be doing a World War Hulk movie, which has been teased, I guess it makes sense.
That we know that would be the only Hulk movie idea that they would pay Universal to make. Right. Because that's the moneymaker. I mean, of the 21st century, there's like Civil War in the comics, Civil War and World War Hulk. Those are like the biggest stories ever. World War Hulk still is like, it's got legs, right? People want to go read it. It's a cool story because it's like, what's better? Hulk beats the shit out of everybody.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to see that.
Right. And they have so many Hulks now in the Marvel universe.
Of course.
And they teased, you know, Planet Hulk, basically, when Hulk went into space and all of that. So what was he doing up there? Oh, he was sleeping with an extraterrestrial lady up there. And he made a baby. I don't know if that's where they're going to go with it, but I'm guessing.
I would assume that they would make the Planet Hulk stuff as the, like, backstory to... I mean, I would love if they just gave us a Planet Hulk movie and then a World War Hulk movie, like, two summers or something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm not betting
gonna happen. No.
So I'm assuming it'll be like maybe something out of sequence, like flashbacks or something like that to see him as a Conan type. Cause we only really saw him in the battle.
Right. And we saw him with that. Yeah. On Ragnarok. That was kind of like the tease, right? Planet Hulk. But yeah, that would be pretty exciting. I mean, we have, you know, Tim Roth, obviously we saw Thunderbolt Ross sort of.
Did they show us him? They announced that.
They announced,
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford, yeah.
Which is like, we're going to see Harrison Ford be Red Hulk. Cool. Also, like, still just the craziest huge superstar. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. He's like, what, 95? Like,
yeah.
Incredible.
And then I guess we would see Betty too, maybe?
Who was Betty in the Edward Norton?
Jennifer
Liv Tyler.
Liv Tyler, and then we also have Jennifer. Oh my God, why am I totally blanking out? In the original, in the first Hulk movie,
with Eric Bana.
Yeah,
I mean, they could get multiversal. That would be crazy if we get Eric Bana in a World War Hulk.
Jennifer Connelly. That's what I was trying to blanking yeah. out. Yeah, she was the first Betty, which I actually liked her better.
I mean,
than Tyler.
Well, I love Jennifer Connelly in general. Yeah. She's superstar, superstar, incredible.
Yeah. But I guess she might, I don't know, she'd be too old at this point. No, she looks great for her age.
She's a babe.
She's a tall babe, yeah, so I don't think it matters. But yeah, I'd like to see her come back, personally.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, they're recasting it, and that was so long ago, so all those things are up in the air. I think it's exciting. I mean, you'll have She-Hulk in a World War Hulk movie, probably being like, no, stop, we have to be more understanding. And it's like, he just leveled a city.
Yeah.
Like, and she's like, yeah, you're right, we got to put him down.
Right.
You know. It will be exciting, because especially because if they do it, it's back to the first Hulk, right? We've seen Hulk ups and downs and smart, and but it's like, this has got to be angrier than we've ever seen him.
So. Monster Hulk again. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to see an Immortal Hulk movie too, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. But that's definitely my favorite storyline as of recently.
Totally. Yeah. I've thought there's three Hulk stories that could be, like, you could do a solid Hulk trilogy with Planet Hulk, World War Hulk, and then Immortal Hulk.
Yeah,
probably not going to really happen that way, but absolutely. No. Immortal Hulk would be the next evolution.
It'd be a good show too, if they did a show. But yeah, that'd be a hard get on Mark Ruffalo, though he was just in a lot of episodes of She-Hulk, so I don't know, maybe. Yeah.
He'll just be a Mr. Fix-It show.
Mr. Fix-It show.
Just in Vegas. God.
Speaking of monsters, we also watched Barbarian, right? This is probably one of my favorite horror movies this year.
Yeah, definitely.
If not my favorite. I also really loved Pearl, but that's another story. So this was a 2022 American horror film written and directed by Zach Cregger. This was his first solo directorial debut. Yeah. And I mean, this is a film if you have not seen it, you don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah, no, I'm not spoiling anything. It's great. It's set in Detroit in a neighborhood that died.
That's Detroit pretty much. Like,
yeah, yeah. And just like a girl going to an Airbnb. I mean, we can do the beginning setup. She goes to an Airbnb and there's someone already there. Right. Like two people got booked. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bill Skarsgård got booked.
He also produced this movie as well.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah. I really like what he's doing.
Hell yeah.
I like the choices he's making and stuff, and him sticking as a horror guy.
Is
really cool.
Because he's also creepy as fuck.
I mean, he's got to know that.
Yeah.
Embrace it. Vincent Price was too. It's like,
yeah.
Do it.
Make those choices. Yeah. I've had this customer that's been coming in at the brew who looks just like Bill Skarsgård, just like a little bit younger. Mm-hmm. And like every time he comes in, he's even got the blonde, he's got the hair cut like perfect and everything. And just every time he comes in, it creeps the fuck out of me.
Ask him if he can cock his eyes out to the side. Because that was not CGI in that movie.
What? It wasn't?
He can
really do that?
He did it on like Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel or something. He like pushed his eyes out. And I'm like, oh my God, okay, you're perfect.
Wow, that's some talent. But yeah, this I saw this movie actually in theaters. The only line I read about it was, don't read anything further, just go see it. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But now it's come out on HBO Max. So if you have HBO Max, just watch it.
It's so good.
All you need to know is that there's a dark secret. That's it.
Justin Long's in it too, who I would never realize it, but I'm like, oh, he's a horror guy.
Oh, he's such a horror guy. Yeah.
Such a horror guy. Like Jeepers Creepers, Drag Me to Hell.
Tusk.
What?
Tusk.
Oh, Tusk. Yeah. Absolutely. Uh-huh. So, I mean, he's done at least four horror movies now. So,
yeah. It's not awesome. More than that. Yeah.
Very cool.
And as I was talking about before, too, also on Hulu right now, X, a Ty West movie is also up there, and Pearl is out, and I think it might still be in theaters now. It's probably coming to streaming very soon. Yeah. And Pearl is a prequel to X, also fantastic.
Absolutely, both of them. I think we talked about it on our Lost episode. But absolutely love Pearl and Barbarian, like best horror movies for me in like maybe a decade. yeah, to be honest.
They're like, great. Pearl is filmed in Technicolor.
Yeah.
Which is fucking amazing. Gives it that real special feel. You know, and it almost feels like the Wizard of Oz or something. And it's just
100%.
It's amazing.
And you can watch them in either order.
Yes.
X or Pearl. I watched them out of order of which they were released. I found no problem with watching it that way. And then there is the third one on the way, Maxine.
Yes.
Mia Goth is my new favorite actress.
She's amazing.
Yeah. She's like, so I was like truly floored.
Yeah. And she actually wrote the script with Ty West for Pearl as well. Yeah.
And I hope Maxine as well.
Yeah, I hope so too.
And I mean, let her I'd watch something she just wrote and isn't even in.
Yeah.
At this point, because right? There's a monologue that I know she wrote in Pearl, mm-hmm. and it's one of the coolest things ever. So yeah.
Yeah.
Phenomenal horror going on.
Yeah, definitely. Since we're talking about horror, we'll just do a quick plug since this will be out before Thursday. Thursday nights, once a month, we are doing a double feature horror show at The Brew at Ghost Town Brewing. This week we are showing Fresh and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original 1974. Yay. So if y'all want to come check that out, please do. I am hosting it. We also do a brief trivia in between on my little intermission. We need more people who are good at trivia because so far it's been pretty pretty terrible. So
Skype me in.
Yeah.
At least if it's horror centric.
Yeah, it's horror.
I'm good on that.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is. It's all about horror, and it's been pretty wretched so far. So
what nights is it? Is it Thursdays?
Thursday. Yeah, we do it once a month on Thursday. This theme is food related and family. So Fresh and Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah, that is a family film.
It is a family film. Fun for all.
I'm also showing
the Eli Roth Thanksgiving trailer in between as well.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
I watch that every year.
It's amazing.
Every single year. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's blood. He tastes the blood. It's blood. keeping on the horror thing, I just wanted to talk about Nice House. We definitely talked about it when it first came out. I don't even know when that was, but 11 is actually, it's in a 12 part series. Issue 11 is out today, actually. Can't wait to read it. Mm-hmm. But Nice House on the Nice House on the
lake
is what I'm talking about. Bueno, drawn by Bueno and written by Tinian the Fourth. Mm-hmm. Amazing horror comic, one of the best I've ever read, and just so been so exciting to continue to read it month after month and see where this story is going.
Yeah.
Just wanted to plug that again because I've been reading it and it's so good. And they're both going to be at a Fan Expo, which is November 25th through the 27th. And aren't you going to be there as well?
I am going to be there. Yep. Me and my writing partner, Dave Dwanch, will be there on Saturday and Sunday. Dave is probably going to be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'll be there Saturday and Sunday. We will be selling our Banshees ash can there as well. And if you want to get a copy and get it signed, we can do that for you. And then Dave will have all of his other comics as well. Come by and say hi at the booth.
Yeah. Fan Expo is very exciting. It's Bay Area's first 3-day convention
a very long time.
Oh, they have had one before.
Yeah, we used to have WonderCon.
Oh, it was 3 days. Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, it used to be 4 days, I think, too.
Oh wow,
yeah.
It's still very exciting, and also just more proof that comics are big.
Yes, thank God. I mean, it's been so long. We had that San Francisco Comic Con very briefly too, and then it's just San Francisco is a pain in the ass to get a con.
Yeah.
There's
not a lot of spaces for that.
Oh, and it's at Moscone Center too, by the way.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will be there at least one of those days, and you'll be there.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday.
Cool.
Yeah.
Keeping on the comics, I guess another series I've been enjoying, Jason Aaron's Punisher. Super cool. I didn't write down the artists, but there's two artists on the book. One of the coolest things I've ever seen a mainstream like Marvel DC book do. They use two distinct artists, one for the back flashbacks of like young Frank Castle, and then one for the like modern day. And I don't know exactly where it's going, but it pit him against Ares, which of course makes a lot of sense. You know, God of War, who's his greatest disciple? Frank Castle's killed more than anybody.
Of course it is.
But Frank is still like, fuck you.
That's Jesus Saez and Paul Azazeta.
Yeah. Both so cool. I don't know which is which, but the flashback stuff looks like really like old comic booky, but that new style. And then the modern day stuff, I'm like, this guy's guy has to be Corbin. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he's doing. It's the same thing where I'm like, is this computers?
Jesus Saez, because Paul Azazeta, he did the Kirkman. He worked with Kirkman a lot, so he did that like old style. Yeah, very scritchy looking almost.
Okay, yeah. And then the other stuff is like, it I don't know. It looks like Corbin. It looks like that weird 3D thing, and I'm not sure what he's doing.
Yeah.
It very cool comic. So.
Except for his logo change. Poor Punisher.
Oh, well, I mean, they even address that and stuff. It's like, it's pretty cool in the comic. Like, Ares is like, you've gone soft, and he puts on Frank's old skull and battles him. It's pretty
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's not like it's gone.
Yeah.
He's just not wearing it because he is being trained by the hand.
And it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. He's living with the hand. They made him a deal that he could not refuse. Maria.
And is he using just swords right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hasn't used a gun either.
Good for the Punisher. Taking on new tricks. I think we talked about that before too.
And there's still guns in the comic or anything. It's not like they're like stripping any of that away or whatever, but it's like, Frank has chosen to use blades and stuff.
Right. Which
works for me. My favorite Punisher moment is a popsicle, is what he, makes the guy think that he is burning his own flesh, tricks him. Like, the Punisher does not need, assault rifles or
whatever. No, not all the time. That's for sure. I read this week too a new comic. Well, I think it came out a couple weeks ago, but Night of the Ghoul by Scott Snyder and Frank Avia. And it's a thick comic, let me tell you. I don't even know how many pages this is. A lot of pages.
Scott Snyder, other horror guy.
One thing I don't like about it is a Comixology original, but we won't get into that right now. But I got the sweet 1 in 10 Tutelote cover. So it's basically about a guy, this like creepy old guy who made this most amazing horror movie ever. So obviously I'm on board. But then unfortunately he got caught in a fire. His face got all melted off and they lost all of the prints of the movie except for one.
Ooh.
And then this guy who's a film archive dude finds like the one print that's left, but it's also been severely damaged. So he goes and finds the guy who made the movie, who's been all burned to a crisp, to try to find out the story behind the movie.
Sweet.
And it turns out it's a true story.
Cool.
Night of
Sounds the good.
Yeah, it's really good. I think it's going to be a miniseries. I mean, I think it's just like 3-issue miniseries. That's kind of what Scott Snyder's been doing recently. Just these
seems
little
like that's what comics has been doing a lot more lately, which I'm pro. I'm pro the miniseries.
Yeah, I'm pro the miniseries too.
Jump in, jump out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep the team, go do a different miniseries.
Yeah.
Or make a sequel miniseries. It's like, it works great. Not everything needs to be forever ongoing or anything like that.
Yeah, totally. I'm also still reading Poison Ivy. That's still great. I heard it's going to be an ongoing series now, which I'm on board. And then Kaya, number one from Wes Craig. It's his first just full ongoing series.
That's out. I do need to grab that.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, and Jordi Belair is doing the colors, so obviously the colors are absolutely astounding.
And Kaya's like it's a fantasy sword and sorcery adventure sort of thing, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's definitely right up my alley. And Wes Craig, artist of Deadly Class. Phenomenal.
Yeah, this is very different from his Deadly Class days.
Still
just as beautiful. Just like reds and purples and yellows and oranges. That's like the color palette pretty much for the entire thing.
He's got such a great cartoony style.
Yeah.
He's like the type of guy where like he'll just depict eyes as dots or something, like, you know, like a Peanuts character almost. Like I can see the Charles Schulz in, even though he's totally crazy skilled artist.
Yeah. That's all of their eyes are just little dots and circles.
Love it.
Really cool. Yeah, it's super cartoony, but almost like it's a perfect mix of like realistic and cartoony at the same time. It totally, like, it looks like an animation series. So
maybe it will be.
Maybe it will be.
Probably. I mean, we got Black Panther coming out this week.
Oh yeah, we have Black Panther coming out. I'm excited for that. Oh wait, I did have one more thing to plug. Yeah. Cabinet of Curiosities. If you're not watching that, Guillermo del Toro's is amazing.
Is that Shudder or where's that?
It's on Netflix.
Oh, Netflix. Okay.
Yeah. There's 8 episodes out. Just my favorites. The Outside and The Autopsy. I believe that's episodes 3 and 4 are just absolutely great. Kate Micucci and Martin Starr are the stars of The Outside, and F. Murray Abraham and Glenn Turman in The Autopsy. And they're just absolutely fantastic. I mean, you know, coming, Guillermo del Toro is just producing them, but, you know, he does all like the creature work and stuff in it.
It's an anthology?
It's an anthology series. Yeah. A lot of H.P. Lovecraft too in it. So,
yeah, Del Toro
makes sense.
For sure.
And then Black Panther.
Oh yeah. It is coming out this week. Which very exciting. We're gonna see Namor. Seems like we're gonna get the oceans uprising and a war and a nation, you know, mourning, then being forced to confront war with a new leadership. Quite a interesting sort of political story in a way.
Yep.
And yes, and then also in the news, I guess this was a few weeks ago, but Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman did a little video. It was pretty funny. Where they like talk about how he's going to be in Deadpool 3, the first under the Disney regime, and they kind of joke about like they like bleep him out or whatever. I watched a video where someone like a mouth reader like replaced everything. And the best part is just Hugh Jackman. He's like, they're like talking about what's going to be in the movie, and he's just like, "Oh, big fucking explosions!" Very funny. But you know, it sounds like it's going to be like kind of a 48 hours sort of thing where Hugh Jackman's the old, or maybe Lethal Weapon, where Hugh Jackman's the old crusty, you know, Logan. I mean, it's probably not going to be the same Logan who died, but which yellow and blue? Are we going to see the yellow and blue?
I hope so.
Why not?
I think that they have to, right? Or brown and yellow.
I mean, I prefer that one, but
I prefer that one too, actually. It'll look better on camera for one.
Sure, but blue and yellow, I will not be mad. I mean, we got the yellow Professor X hover chair, so we can get the same Wolverine from that show. Fantastic. What is this? But yeah, very exciting. You know, because they wanted this to happen. Those guys are friends in real life, but obviously, I guess Hugh Jackman needs the right amount of money in order to get shredded. And look, I don't need to see him take off the shirt, wear the suit, put on a muscle suit. I don't care. Homelander that. I don't care. I don't have to work out. I don't care.
Yep. That's funny too, because then like Black Adam, The Rock, like they made such a big deal of him, like he didn't put on a suit for this, like instead they actually had to like shrink him, like for these other scenes where he wasn't Black Adam and he looked so weird. It was kind of like Captain America, same thing, you know, where they shrunk Chris Evans,
or looking at a picture of Rock when he was in the WWE when he starts, where you're like, he's like a skinny little guy. What?
Yeah, he's like a normal, I mean, not normal,
normal
but
fit, like normal,
yeah, normal
fit,
fit
guy
person. Yeah,
with, you know, super jeans.
Yeah. Not taking human growth hormone yet or whatever.
Whatever they are.
Whatever he's taking, because that's not normal.
Well, he's an actor, not an athlete. So.
Right. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's really exciting. And just, you know, we're getting also Quantumania. We got a trailer, right?
Yeah.
That was super cool.
Yep.
Kang. Is it the same Kang? Is it the Kang?
There's so many Kangs. It doesn't really matter which one it is, right? Because there's like 9 gabillion Kangs.
I mean, I'm hoping for a different one each movie, kind of, just to see Jonathan Majors stretch, like, who he's going to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Really exciting. There's a lot of cool upcoming stuff. So,
well, we will not be short on comic book movies ever in our lifetime.
That is true. That is true.
We'll always have a comic book movie to talk about.
All the wishing when I was looking at the 7 movies when I was a kid, like, there's 7 total or whatever, maybe 10, you know, but
maybe,
now it's just like, I can at least watch all the movies, but it's hard to keep track of everything.
It is
the shows and stuff.
It would take weeks to watch them all, or like at least a week, and you could never leave your house.
Well, I have things for retirement, I guess.
Yeah,
like, I'm gonna watch that old show, Peacemaker.
Well, I can't wait for the new Peacemaker.
Lots of stuff. And then I wanted to plug a 50-year-old movie that I recently
watched.
Plug that
50-year-old movie.
Female Prisoner 701 Scorpion. It's the first of a series. I didn't write her name down, but the actress is Lady Snowblood, which was a huge inspiration for Kill Bill and everything. But this is a women in prison revenge film that is one of the craziest, bonkers, balls to the walls, insano movies I've ever seen in my entire life. I was blown away, and I keep thinking about it. I watched it like 3 days ago, and it has stuck in my head, like some of those imagery. It's very violent, very insane. But
not for the faint of heart.
No, but so cool.
Yeah.
Just really wanted to push that movie. It's free on Tubi.
Yeah. I believe they're also on Shudder too. Definitely a bunch of the sequels are on Shudder.
Cool.
So Shudder has amazing lineup right now. So if you don't have Shudder, subscribe to that shit, because it's not expensive and you can watch so many movies, so many amazing movies too.
Yeah. And Tubi's got some pretty crazy stuff when you
Does Tubi still have commercials?
Very limited. Okay. Very limited. I think there was like 4 commercial breaks or something through the movie.
That's not bad.
But it seems like they have, with different contracts and stuff, some, like, I've watched movies on Tubi where there were no commercials. So I don't really know how that all works.
Because I watched the Weird Al movie last night.
Oh, okay.
And it was on, you can watch it free on Roku TV. I don't have a Roku, but there's a Roku channel that you download on your TV. And I thought the movie was great.
Cool.
Like, FYI, it was really fun. We can get into it on another show after you watch it. But
yeah.
Oh my God, there were so many ads. And I am so used to not watching commercials anymore that I just like was going insane. There must have been 20 ads watching that movie. And it was hard to get through that way, you know, because you're into the movie and you're watching it and it's super fun. And then 4 ads come on in a row and you're like,
We forget. I mean, I was very happy to cut a cord whenever that was 10 years ago or whatever. Right. And I think Weird Al tweeted himself. Someone was like, it's not available in my region. And he like did a very sly, like, he was just like torrent.
Yeah. He doesn't care.
Yeah. I mean, it's free anyway on the channel, but, I'm glad to hear that it was good. I was a huge Weird Al fan as a kid. So
yeah, definitely check that out. Even if you have to watch it with a million ads, it's still worth it for sure.
Cool.
All right. Well, this has been fun. Thanks, y'all, for sticking with us through our many, many breaks.
Yeah.
I'm on a more regular schedule now, so we will get back to this.
But how can you miss us if we don't go away?
I know, right?
But we're going to try and not do that.
No, we're going to try. We always say that, I know. But
yeah. We're not Lady Gaga.
No.
Not yet.
Not yet. All right. Well, I've been Jessica Balboni.
I'm Robert Aguasco. Yeah, you can check my Instagram out at Robert_NEGOESCO, Robert Negoesco. I'm posting my comic stuff. I have four comics available right now, three mini comics, $4 each. Altered Comics 1, Metamorphosis, the Extreme Battle Action, and then Mutant Mayhem. And then I have still have copies of Institution Comics All-Star Action, my full-size, full-color, printed on newsprint, homage to classic, Silver Age comics. And that one's $5. So you can get a pretty sweet deal for $20.
Yeah, do it.
Get it right to your door. And then I also search that name on YouTube and follow me there. I've been posting stuff recently and it's been getting crazy.
Cool. You can follow me on Instagram at Jessa Balboni, JessaBaloni. I've been posting stuff. I don't know. You know, there's some stuff about my comics. If you can follow the link there, actually, to get my comic, The Banshee's Ashcan from Scout Comics. The first issue, their first full issue, will be out February 1st, wherever comics are sold. So stay tuned for that.
Super exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. And also, like we said earlier, you can find me and Dave Dwanch at Fan Expo the 25th and 6th, or, 26th, 27th. That's correct. Or go there all 3 days to see Dave.
Yeah. And other very cool people. There's a lot of
Go
check out the lineup. I guarantee someone you love is there. Mm-hmm. Some voice actor, some comic artist. It's going to be a huge, big event. So.
Right. Oh, and then also, of course, go to the store, 3090 Claremont Avenue, Escapist Comics, and follow the store at Escapist Comics on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. If you want to still go on Twitter, I recommend you don't personally.
Oh, yeah.
But,
there's a TikTok now too, right?
Oh, yeah. And on TikTok at Escapist Comics. Go on TikTok instead. Don't go on Twitter.
There's a mass exodus going on. We'll see what happens.
Very, very hectic.
Well, let's not leave on a sour note.
Let's not do that.
Comics are cool.
Comics are cool. And remember
to escape into commerce.
Thank you, guys.
Ta-ta.